up in you folks has never read the Bible yourselves, never taken the opportunity, copy of the Bible, extract from the Bible that is offered to you freely this afternoon, yours to do with as you please, as you will. God's Word, and it has the ability that no other book has, that is to make you wise, not clever but wise, unto salvation, that is for all who believe it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is. Gospel is Christ died for sinners, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said that he would. Rose again after the third day, just as Bible said that he would. Predictions that God makes, they come true, always, infallibly so. Predictions that men make, they're of no account. Christ died for the ungodly, for sinners, ungodly men and women. Men and women who are contrary in their nature and practice to God. Christ died for such, to save them from the full-blown consequences of their sin, the wrath to come, the judgment of Almighty God. Gospel is good news. Good news for sinners, that is. Good news for the ungodly. But of course, if you don't fit that category, you don't see yourself as a sinner, you don't see yourself as being ungodly, then I guess this wouldn't be good news for you. You don't see yourself as a man or woman under the condemnation of Almighty God and faced with hell's damnation, then I guess maybe you won't see this as good news. But if that's your case, like all the rest of us, in fact, the entirety, the whole of humanity, because you see, God says that all have sinned and come short the glory of God. None righteous, no one. None who understandeth, none who seeks after God. Altogether become unprofitable, out of the way, out of God's way, that is. And of course, none righteous as God, no, not one. I know that you have a perceived goodness. You think you're a good person. That's what you all tell me anyway, that you're good people. Good maybe in the eyes of men. Good maybe in your own eyes. A perceived goodness, an imaginary goodness, but not really. Hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked. That's how God describes the entirety of the human race. Says there's none good. Jesus says only God is good. And of course, you look into your own heart. You know, you examine yourself in the light of what God says, what God demands. You ever told a lie? God says no liar shall ever enter heaven. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? You've already committed adultery in your heart, Jesus says. Ever stolen anything, big or small, doesn't matter, it's of no consequence. Robbed God of his worship, true worship, then, you know, people, no liar, no thief, no adulterer, no, nothing unclean shall ever enter my heavens, says God. And there's only one other destination, and that's the damnation of hell. So you see, lest you get out of your sin, lest you get into the righteousness of God, lest you begin to see the gospel as good news, You're lost, damned, without hope in this world, the world to come. Serious, it's grave, it's solemn. But of course, that's how it is. Hey, Nathan, what would you like? You like one of my books? Huh?
How much?
Don't want any money. No money, yours. Have a good day, sir. So see, this young man just showed you how simple it is, you know, to get right with God. You just receive. He came up to me, he received the gospel booklet, the word of God. Well, in the same fashion, the same way, you have to, from your heart, receive the gospel, the good news, in order for it to be received. Bible speaks about the offense of the cross. You know, we speak about Jesus dying for sinners. We speak about Jesus dying for the ungodly. That's an offense. That's an offense to the unregenerate mind. That's an offense to the ungodly. That's an offense to the world. The cross of Jesus Christ is an offense to those who are perishing. You're offended by the cross. That's just an indication. That proves, you see, that's the mark that you're on your way to a lost eternity. You're on the pathway to perdition. You despise the cross. That's your state. That's your case. That's your situation. That's why you need to get right with God. You need to repent of your sin. You need to embrace the cross in faith. Delight in the cross, because that's the only means by which you can be saved and made right with God. But of course, the cross has always been an offense. Always has been, and always will be to the end of the age. Ungodly will always despise the cross of Jesus Christ. Religion, it's an amazing thing, is it not? You know, some of you will embrace, some of you, you'll agree with them, you know, with Islam. It goes about the world murdering and slaughtering people, but you'll agree with that before you'll embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. The religion of Jesus is a peaceable religion, a mild religion, compassionate religion. And yet, of course, it's assailed with the most bitter hate. Always has been, always will be. It is even this very day. It's an offense, you see, to the unregenerate until you've been born again. You must be born again, Jesus says. Lest a man's born again, he says, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. See, people, you never desire the cross, never embrace the cross. You'll never see it as God's way of salvation. Never love God. Never desire God, never desire His word, His commandments. Not until you've been born again. Your nature's changed. God regenerates your heart, gives you a new heart. Then you'll see the cross as being something wonderful and amazing. You never see the grace of God in the cross always be an offense to you. Always despise it until that is you've been born again of God's Spirit. The offense of the cross, you see, it's an offense to man's pride. You know, Jesus dying for sinners, you know, to atone for their sins, to pay the price for their sins, to take their judgment, to take God's wrath upon Himself for sinners, to make peace by the blood of His cross. It's an offense to man's pride, you know, and to acknowledge. Thank you, sir. Have a good day. You know, to acknowledge You know, it's the hardest thing, isn't it? Hardest thing. What's the hardest word in all human language? English language, I mean. To say you're sorry. Isn't it? Doesn't the word stick in your throat? Doesn't the word stick in your craw? You know, to say that you're sorry. You know, to actually admit that you were wrong. To actually acknowledge that you just might be wrong and God's right. To acknowledge that you could possibly be a condemned sinner under the wrath of God and in need of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. It's an offense to man's pride, you see. He had an itty little bit of flesh, you know. Sinful, wicked flesh on the horizon of God's universe. And you're full of pride. What's man that he should be proud? Huh? But you know, the Bible says that pride goes before a fall. If the cross, because of your human pride, remains an offense to you, to the end of your course, your fall is going to be a big one. All the way down into a lost eternity, the damnation of hell. But then, of course, the message of the cross is an offense to man's wisdom. You know, man and his cleverness. He thinks he's got it all worked out. You know, here you are. You could tell me about the origin of the species. You could tell me, you could spiel this evolutionary lie to me. You could probably tell me back to front. You know, you've been schooled in it from the cradle and the most of you to the grave. Ah, oh, so clever. You know, you got all this cleverness, you understand the universe, galaxies, explore space, you can do all these things, so, so clever, you know. But confronted with the message of the cross, that you, in all, with all your cleverness, still can't sort yourselves out, still can't put yourselves together again, still can't deal with your social problems. It's an amazing thing to me, you know. And the cleverness that you got, and all that you say you can do, and yet you can't put all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put the United Kingdom back together again. Huh? A third of your nation's slums, over 50% of children born today in your nation are illegitimate children. Born out of wedlock, which just a short time ago used to be a shame and disgrace to anybody. But of course, you see, you know, you got all these problems, you're still killing one another. All your cleverness, you know. So wise, you think to yourselves, you know, what would you need a cross for? You know, when you got to have it all worked out. See, the cross is an offense to man's wisdom. But you see, the wisdom of God's a lot sharper, you know. The wisdom of God, you know, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Message of the cross. Power of God unto salvation. Blood of Jesus. Change a heart, change a life, change a destiny. Eternal life. Life is in the blood, says God. The life of God's in the blood. Jesus Christ shed on the cross for sinners. Take your wisdom, nail it to the cross. Your worldly human wisdom, nail it to the cross. Get God's wisdom in the Bible. That's where you'll find it. Then, of course, the message of the cross is an offense to man. You know, because it's God's declaration that you can't save yourself. Not by your religion. Not by your good works. No flesh shall be justified in God's sight by works. You know, no matter what you do, religious or otherwise, won't get you right with God. Won't get you no brownie points with God. Hi, John. How you doing, bro? All right, sir. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Nice day, eh?
Yeah, I've just noticed something.
What?
Because the Lord, I'm sure with you, doesn't he? Gives out signs and connections.
Yeah.
And if you read the word for today,
right. It
says, trust more in the Lord than in man.
Aye.
And it's Philippians.
Yeah. All right, okay, yeah, sir, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So,
good to see you, bro.
It's getting, the connections and messages are coming quicker now.
Right.
So, is there, over the last 20 odd years, he's trained me up and must be getting to something bigger.
Anyway. I just got back 2 weeks in Jamaica preaching.
Have you?
In the streets of Jamaica.
Have you?
What a difference.
What a difference.
We gave out 50,000 tracts and 150 Bibles given away. Yeah.
Totally different.
Totally different. Wonderful.
Is there any hope for this lot?
Yeah, this is it. This is it, Joel. Just keep at it.
It's like,
I know.
There's such a gap.
Yeah, I know.
Between when our parents told us about it to where nothing happens today.
I know.
There's such a gap.
But just keep on preaching the gospel. That's the answer. It's the only hope.
Well, you must be told to do that by the Lord, so that's it.
Yeah. I can't do no other, John, eh?
No.
So help me, I can't do any other.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's in your blood, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to crack on, John, eh? Good to see you, eh?
All best.
Have a good day, eh?
Okay.
Get that coffee sometime, eh? Yeah. So you see, the cross is God's declaration that man can't save himself, you know? It's the only means, you see, it's the only way. Thank you, God. You see, you ask any bona fide Christian, ask them when it began for them, and they'll tell you. Everyone, their experiences might be different, but they'll tell you the same thing. It began for them beneath the cross. Cross of Jesus Christ is an offense to man, you see, to unregenerate men, because they think they can save themselves. They think they can do it by their religion. You know, they think they can do it by their good works. You know, rushing at their religion or whatever it might be. You see, God says, nobody but nobody will ever be made right with him by those means. There's only one way, and that's through the cross of God's. You think that God's Son would have come all the way from heaven? That he would have suffered and bled and died and took the wrath of God upon himself on the cross? Do you think he would have gone to those lengths if you could be saved by your stupid little bit of religion or your good works or something else? Or because you pat your head now and again and say, what a good person you are. There's none good. We're all of us, every single one of us, we're rotten to the core, we're vile, we're desperately wicked, says God. Every single one of us. And that's why you need the cross. Only the blood of God's Son will change that and make you right with God. There ain't no other way, people. Ain't no other way. You can't save yourself. Then, of course, well, the message of the cross, you see, it's an offense to man's self-righteousness. You know, Jesus, he gives us a list of the people he came for. You know, he said, he came to give eyesight to the blind, not to heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free, release for the oppressed. But of one class of people that he never mentions, and one class of people he never, never has anything to say to, and that's the self-righteous. You self-righteous? You okay? I'm giving out literature here. Know the answer that I get from you people more than any other. I'm okay, thanks. Would to God you were okay. You're not okay. You might think you are, but you're not. Your righteousness is, that's the very best of your deeds. God says they're like filthy rags in his sight. Won't touch them. He's of purer eyes than to behold evil. Now, people, won't even look upon you. You're separated from God because of your iniquities. A million miles away from God. Self-righteous. and self-condemned as a result of it. Your self-righteousness getting in the way of you coming to the cross, embracing the cross, trusting the one who died on the cross, that you might be forgiven, that you might be washed and made clean. People, the offense of the cross, it's an offense to self-righteousness. Then of course, well, it's an offense, you know, because of man's love affair that he's got going with sin. You know, you got this love affair going with sin. You love it, and so you won't leave it. You won't leave it. You love the darkness, and you won't come to the light because you love your sin, because your deeds are evil. That's why you won't embrace the cross, God says. That's why you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because you got this love affair going with sin. You got to break off the love affair with sin. Yeah, you know how to break off an affair, you young women. You know, when you get fed up, when you get fed up with the guy you've got, you just kick him out the door. You find somebody else. You know, you guys, you're well practiced at it, aren't you? You know, you young men, you got the young woman, you're fed up with her, you want a bit of fresh, you tell her, on your bike, get out, I want somebody else. You know how to break off relationships. You're doing it every single day of your life. Most of you, anyway. Well, the same fashion, you see, you got this love affair going with sin. And it's time you broke it off. It's time you got rid of it. It's time you got a new relationship going. The one with God through Jesus Christ. And one that will never come to an end. An everlasting covenant. An everlasting relationship through God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross, to restore you to God's favor, to restore you to God's covenant fellowship, friendship, that God might be your friend instead of your enemy. But you know, the Bible says that's who Christ died for. The enemies of God, not the friends, the enemies of God. While we were enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. You imagine that? You imagine that, eh? You die for your enemies. You lay your life down for your enemies, for those that hate you and curse you and spit upon you. You die for such as that. It's the love of God in Jesus Christ. The cross, people, the cross that's an offense to you is the greatest evidence of God's love for a sinner such as you. People, the offense of the cross always been an offense, always will be to the end of the age. But you can see it, you know, you can see it in the persecution of believers. You know, Christian believers, even today, it's at its height, they tell me, I don't know, but they're slaughtering and killing Christians in the Middle East. I don't think there's hardly one left in the Middle East. Saw a picture of one man being hanged in Iran just the other day. Nice people, aren't they, these Muslims? Huh? Is that your religion? Is that what you subscribe to? They hanged him because he was a Christian, because he believed and he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they're persecuting us all over the world. In Russia, the Middle East, all over the world, Pakistan, India, Christians are being persecuted and hounded to death. Why? Because the cross is an offense. The cross is an offense to the unregenerate mind, to ungodly men and women. Gosh, you see it here. We get it on the streets. The slander, you know, and the mockery of believers. Now, you guys don't do it outrightly. Not yet, at least anyway. It's just the mocking and the sneering and the sniping as you go past. But it reveals, you see, what's in your heart. It reveals what's inside you. It's overspilling, you see, it's come out of you. The offense of the cross. You despise the cross. God's means of salvation for your soul. Then, of course, you got the deniers, those who deny, you know, Jesus, that he was God manifest in the flesh, and that he was dying for, you know, for the sins of the world. Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But of course you got the peddlers, you know, of the false religion, idolatrous religion all around you. You got the Islam and you got your Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll be out here somewhere today peddling their lies, their idolatrous religion. People have only one truth, and it's revealed in the Bible. There's only one way back to God, and it's through the cross. And these deniers, you see, these people who propose these and present these false religions to you, you see, they too, you see, are expressing what's inside of them. Now, we don't want that way. We despise the cross. The cross is an offense to us. We can do it our way. We've devised our own religion, thank you very much. Charles K. Russell, Ellen G. White, Seventh-day Adventists, Muhammad, you know, and the Pope of Rome. There's no hope in the Pope. People, it's idolatrous religion. One way back to God, through the dark path of sin. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ says. Oh, a name under the whole canopy of heaven by which a person can be saved. Name of Jesus Christ, who is both God and Lord. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But here, people, here's the foolishness of being offended at the cross. Here's the folly of it. You're being offended by what God has ordained for your salvation. God ordained this from before the foundation of the world. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ should come into the world to save sinners by his death on the cross. And it's an offense to you? The one means that God has ordained by which you could be saved from the damnation of hell. From everlasting flames. From that place where the fire is never quenched and the worm dies not. And it's an offense to you. How foolish is that? How dumb, how stupid is that, people? Waking up to the reality, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe on him should not perish but have eternal, have everlasting life. But through the cross, through the finished work of Jesus, that which he accomplished outside Jerusalem, dying in the place of sinners for the ungodly, rising again from the dead, so that through trusting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you might be saved. But if what God has ordained is an offense to you, what hope have you got? I ask you, offended by what will overcome your sin? You know, you labor and you work at trying to change your lives. I know you do. You got these habits, you know, some of them are filthy habits, and you can't get rid of them. You wish you never started them, but you've got them and they're ingrained in you. How can you, accustomed to doing evil, do good, says God? You see, you're natural born sinners. You see, you got a sinful nature, and out of that sinful nature comes sinful practice. And you're ever, by all kinds of means, you're trying to change your life. You know, trying to overcome the alcohol. Talked to a young man in Warrington yesterday, trapped by the booze. You know, can't get out of it. Even tears telling me, you know, how he needs, how he wants help. I understand that, you know. You're trapped by all these sinful habits, you know. But every single sinful habit you've got, you see, is a manifestation of the principle of sin that's within you. And that's what needs breaking. And the only thing that can break that, people, is the blood of the cross. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. But if it's an offense to you, if the cross is an offense to you, if the blood of God's Son is something that you despise, you're despising the very thing that would enable you to overcome the sin in your life. The sinful habits that trap you and take the very life out of you. You turn to these things because you think they'll give you life. You turn to the booze because you think that's living, man. Eh? Then you become trapped by it. You turn to the, sexual freedom, that's the big one. Sexual explosion, yeah, in Western society today, it feels like freedom. I just want to be free to sleep around, to fornicate and sodomize. Freedom, it feels like freedom, but it's not. It's bondage. It's bondage. And when the disease kicks in, the chlamydia, and you find out you can't get pregnant, young women, or the AIDS kicks in, your blood's poisoned, and you're on your way out of the world, you weren't free after all, were you? Now, people, the very thing you see that would enable you to overcome the sin, to indeed set you free, you despise it. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Cross is an offense to you. But how foolish is that? How foolish is that, people? Offended at the one thing that would save you from damnation. Hell's damnation. Oh, I know, you're okay today, the sun's shining, and everybody's happy, well, moderately so. Okay, just now, you know, but one day you're going to cock your toes up just like everybody else. You're going to go out this world, and guess what, people? Guess what? You never saw a Pickford's van following a hearse. Because you don't take the stuff with you. All around me I see people building houses, bigger houses, clamoring to get on the mortgage ladder, additions to your home, extensions to your houses, renovating them and decorating them. I see people all around me building homes, and you're going to leave them behind. Are you building a home for heaven? One day your soul's going to be cast out of its body. One day you're going to go out of this world. And no, death is not the end. There was the stupidest man I ever saw. Did you see him on the television last night? Hurling himself into a lost eternity. Did you? They call it euthanasia. Do you know what that word means? It means good death. There's no such a thing as a good death outside of Jesus Christ. Because you're faced with a Christless eternity. You're faced with the damnation of hell. And people, that's what you're faced with. That's what you're faced with. If the offense is a cross to you, if the cross is an offense to you, that's your end, people. Where the worm dies not, and where the fire, the flames are never quenched. Hell's a reality. the lovely Son of God who came into the world to save sinners, He knows what it is that you need to be saved from. And He describes hell most graphically, more than any of the other authors in the Bible. He describes it extremely graphically. There's something to be saved from. The wrath to come, the judgment of God. But if you despise the blood, if you consider it a no thing and trample it underfoot, then people, if the cross is an offense to you, you're on the pathway to perdition. I wonder this generation can't feel the heat. I wonder you can't feel the flames licking at your feet already. Seems to me you can't wait to get to hell. Seems to me you can't get there quick enough. Imagine that man last night on your television. Topping himself, killing himself. Did you ever see such utter, godless selfishness as that? People, what's the matter with you? Wake it up to the reality of your sin and the reality of what you face as a consequence if you go out of this world with your sin untreated by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The offense of the cross. How dumb, how stupid is that? I mean, to be offended by the wisdom of God, and to be offended by the power of God, the power to change your nature, the power to transform your heart and your life. You want to make the fruit and the tree good? You got to make the tree good. You make the tree good and then you get good fruit from it. You want to make a person good? You want to make their lives good? Then you gotta change the person's nature first. You gotta change their heart. The cross, you see, in the cross lies the power of God to change your heart and to change your life and to make you a new person. To make you beautiful like Jesus. Now, not the beauty of this world. I'm not talking about the carnality. I'm not talking about the body makeovers. I'm not talking about the hairdos. I'm not talking about all the stuff that you do to yourself to make you attractive to the world and to one another. I'm talking about the beauty of Jesus. An inward beauty, a loveliness, a kindness, compassionate, forgiveness, you know? Yeah, these things don't come natural to us, people. These things don't come natural to anybody. They come supernaturally. They come by the power of God. But it's the cross, it's the power of God, you see. And if it's an offense to you, well, you deny yourself that power. You deny yourself the power to change your heart and to change your life. To become a beautiful creature in the eyes of God. It's not what men think. You young women, and you parade yourselves and you undress yourselves to make yourself attractive to men who really in their hearts hate and despise you. You young men go about with your trousers hanging off yourself, dressed like I don't know what, like dervishes, and you think that you're cool, and all the girls will think you're cool, and you look like a bunch of divvies. Huh? Beauty, people, beauty. Beauty in the eyes of the Lord, the beauty of holiness. Come the only way you see you can access God's power for salvation through the cross. But if it's an offense to you, well, I suggest to you that's rather foolish. Some people, you know, they're offended. They're offended at the message of the cross, you know, because they're ashamed of it. Some people who call themselves Christians. Some people call themselves Christians. No trouble, hey, sir, see these young people you got responsible for? You need to tell them, sir, the prophet Moses said, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. In Islam, you have no atonement for your sins. You've no cross, no blood. Idolatrous religion, that's what it is. The offense of the cross. But even some Christians, so called, are ashamed of the cross. Why should I be ashamed of the cross of my Savior? Huh? Tell me what's wrong standing under God's heaven. Standing on God's earth and breathing God's air and declaring God's message of salvation. Ashamed? Never. Never. Not as long as I've got a breath in my body. Because that's what saved me. That's how God washed me and made me clean and made me right with Himself. And would do so for you also. If you would then come to the cross, repent of the spirit of the age. Repent of the spirit of the world. The world has always, always found the cross to be an offense. Always has done. Always will do. Repent of the spirit of the world. And embrace the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The world will always love its own. But people, what the world esteems, God despises. Don't go with the world. You go with the world, you'll go up in flames with the world. It's going to dissolve, God says, in fervent heat one day. You're living in a city of destruction. Flee from it. Get out of it. Into the arms of Jesus and follow Him to the celestial city. Place of safety, people. Only place of safety in this perishing world is following Jesus all the way to glory. But I tell you this, people, the cross, the message of the cross, is sufficient for all kinds of sinners. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've been doing, no matter who you've been sleeping with, people, the cross, the deepest dyed sinner, the worst of sinners, there is no sin deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ, His Son. He died on the cross for all kinds of sinners. The worst and the best of them. Matters not who you are or what you are. You come to the cross. You cry out to Jesus, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you keep crying out to Him and give Him no rest until He comes to you. Until you know that you have a pardon. Until you know that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Born of God's Spirit. Until you know that you are right with God. People, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the only message that we've got. It's the only one that God's given to us. We abandon. Because people are offended at the cross, we abandon that message, people. Then you abandon all hope for this nation. You abandon all hope for all of the nations, the world. You abandon hope for yourself if you remain offended at the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I implore you, be reconciled to God. The only way, Jesus, by the blood of His cross, He made peace for the world. But that peace has to be received. It has to be voluntarily. It has to be willingly received by you before it can be yours. And you receive that peace in receiving God's Son. He came to His own, but His own received Him not. But to as many as did receive Him, to them He gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God, adopted into the family of God, right with God, in fellowship with God, and on the pathway to glory instead of the pathway to perdition. Ah, the cross. The old rugged cross. You like to sing the songs. That amazing thing, you'll sing that song, and yet still the message of the cross is an offense to you. It's just a load of emotion, that's all it is. There is a green hill far away. No, that's not how it was. It was Israel's rubbish dump. That's where they took the Son of God and nailed Him to a cross. Slew Him, killed Him, crucified the Son of God so that you might be saved. But when you despise the blood, when you're offended at the cross, people, do you know what you do? When you hear this message, when I preach it to you Thursday by Thursday, and you're offended at the cross, you know what you do? You crucify the Son of God all over again. What do you think God will do to such a people as that? Who despise the one means that He has ordained by which you might be saved. Oh, people, think on these things. I implore you, repent and believe the gospel. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. How possible, you say? Because Christ died for the ungodly. Because He died for sinners. Because He spilled His blood on Calvary's cross. In order to save sinners such as you and I. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word?